Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Deans with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries, along with the Life Support Outreach Church and our prayer room ministry. So delighted tonight to be on our radio broadcast for the study in the Word of God. I just give God all the praise and the glory tonight. I magnify his holy name on tonight. God is such a good God. He is so worthy, hallelujah, to be praised. We're going to get ready to have a short devotion. We're going to have a song, a scripture, a song, and a prayer. I'm going to be reading from Psalms. Just one moment, you all. Let me turn this light on because I can't see. Amen, amen. I can see better now. Thank the Lord. It will be on Psalms 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me scorn. They shoot out the lips. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. I have just read you the first 10 verses of Psalm 22. May God richly add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, but most of all, the doers of his most holy word. We're just going to listen to a portion of this song, and then we're going to go on. I'm going to pray, and we're going to go on to the enter our class, if the thing play. This internet is so bad. My. Well, I don't have time to wait for it to decide to play, because it's just going to stop. It does. Anyway, I'm going to get ready to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come humbly before your throne of grace on tonight, God, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, God, that we've committed against you, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we come confessing and repenting, asking for forgiveness and cleansing through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on tonight. Father, we just ask you to let me decrease, that the Holy Ghost may increase and minister and teach us tonight, Father. We ask you tonight to open up our minds and our understanding, that we may understand your word, God. In the name of Jesus, move me from this vessel. Move me tonight, God, that the Holy Ghost may take over and take control on tonight. Father, we just thank you tonight, God. We bless your name. I ask you to just bless and cover everyone under the sound of my voice on tonight. Everyone, God, every member of this ministry, God, of this church, I ask you to cover tonight. In the shed blood of Jesus, encamp your angels all around about them to protect them, God, from all hurt, harm, or danger. Then, Father, I'm just thanking you tonight for what you're going to do, God. I'm thanking you for what you've already done, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, and what you're doing right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, move by your power on today. Then I bind up strong men. I bind up every strong man. I bind up every strong man, every witch, every wizard, every warlock, every medium, every psychic, every demon on assignment. Your assignment is canceled from this lot. On this radio broadcast and from our lives, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I just thank you, Lord. I praise you. I bless your name, God. In Jesus' name, I pray and ask all these things. Amen, amen, amen. So let it be. Amen, amen, and praise the Lord. I'm going to start reading on tonight in 2 Samuel chapter 8. When I find it, okay. 2 Samuel chapter 8 and 9 tonight. It's chapter 8 and chapter 9 tonight. Because tonight is just two chapters. Amen. And after this, it came to pass that David smote the Philistines and subdued them. And David took Metheg, Amah, out of the land, out of the hands of the Philistine. And he smote Moab and measured them with a line, casting them down to the ground, even with two lines measured he to put to death, and with one full line to keep alive. And so the Moabites became David's servants and brought gifts. David smote also Hadadezer, the son of Rahab, king of Zobah, as he went to recover his border at the river Euphrates. And David took from him 1,000 chariots and 700 horsemen and 20,000 footmen. And David hauled all the chariot horses, but reserved of them for 100 chariots. And when the Syrians of Damascus came to Sochar, Hadadezer, king of Zoban, David slew of the Syrians 22,000 men. Then David put garrisons in Syria of Damascus, and the Syrians became servants of David and brought gifts. And the Lord preserve David whithersoever he went. And David took the shield of gold that were on the servants of Hadadezer and brought them to Jerusalem, but tossed and from Berathal, cities of Hadadezer, King David took exceedingly much bread. When Toi, king of Hamath, heard that David had smitten all the host of Hadadezer, then Toi sent Joram, his son, unto King David to salute him and to bless him because he had fought against Hadadezer, smitten him, for Hadadezer had wars with Toi. And Joram brought with him vessels of silver, vessels of gold, and vessels of brass, which also King David did dedicate unto the Lord with the silver and the gold that he had dedicated of all nations which he subdued in Syria, in Moab, and of the children of Ammon and of the Philistines and of Amalek and of the spoils of Hadadazar, son of Rehob, king of Zobah. And David got him a name when he returned from smiting of the Syrians in the valley of Salt, being 18,000 men. And he put garrisons, in Edom, throughout all Edom put he garrisons, and all day of Edom became David's servants, and the Lord preserved David whatsoever he went. And David reigned over all Israel, and David executed judgment and justice unto all his people. And Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was over the host. And Jehoshaphat, the son of Halu, was recorder. And Zodak, the son of Hitub, and Hamimelech, son of Abathar, were the priests. And Sirah was the scribe. And Benahai, the son of Jeholada, was over both the Cherethites and the Pelethites. And David's son was chief ruler. These are names. Chapter 9. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show them kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, whose lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar." And then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and said, and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth," and he answered, "Behold, thy servant." And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continuously." And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon me such a dead dog as I am?" Then the king called to Ziba, saw a servant, and said unto him, "I have given unto thy master's son all that pertain to Saul and all to his house. Thou therefore in thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruit that thy master's son may have food to eat." But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons, 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king have commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Michal. And all that dwell in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continues at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. Okay, amen. Amen. So this is a very, very, and it's going to get better because I've been reading and reading, but it's a very good lesson here. We're going to answer these questions first, and then I'll talk about it. And we'll talk about it, not I, but we will talk about it. So the first question, chapter 8, is only one question in chapter 8. How many men did Moab did David keep as servants? How many men? Can anybody tell me? Let's see, how many men of Moab did David keep as servants?
Is it 20,000?
You know what? I don't really know. Let me see. It says in chapter, in verse 2. That's what I got down here. Verse 2, and he smote Moab and measured them with a line, casting them down to the ground, even with two lines measure he to put to death, and with one for lying to keep alive. And so the Moabites became David's servants and brought, but I don't know, it's like,
oh, 700 archers. Yes. 20,000 footmen in verse 4.
Yeah. Okay, and David took from him 1,000 chariots and 700 horsemen and 20,000 footmen, and David hogged all the chariot horses, but several of them for 100 chariots. It's either 100 or 200,000. He kept some, I know, for itself, but I thought it was, you're right. Yep, I can't see no other difference. I looked at where he was measuring them, and I'm thinking but it's not what it was. Anyway, that's the only question in chapter 8. And okay, chapter 9, it says, what did David want to do for the house of Saul? So we just read that. I just read that he wanted to show them kindness. And that's in verse, I think, 3 of chapter 9.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then it says, what did David do for Mephibosheth? Man.
Yeah.
Mephibosheth. And he just restored all his grandfather's land, his daddy's land back to him, and he treated him like he was family, like one of the king's sons. And it was a blessing for him because as long as Saul tried to kill him, he could have been mad and ready to kill him, but he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
He let God use him. That's why he was a man after God's own heart. And that's why today, and those are the only two, these are the only two chapters we have today, but Thursday we'll have 10, 11, and 12. But and they are very good. But this goes to show you how David won over God with the love and stuff he had for the people of God, because it was something how Saul tried, and Saul tried to kill him, but even his son Jonathan loved David so much, they really loved each other, you know. But he had to stick with his daddy.
Yes.
To do all that fighting, and he had to stick with him. But then that's how he got killed. That's really how he got killed. And now I haven't been reading, and my glasses is a mess up, but this was such a blessing to me because it goes to show you how much, why God chose David to be king.
Yes.
It really did, because he was pleasing to God, and he pleased the people of God. He didn't only just please God, he pleased them as well, because before, and I think I might have read up some, but when he get and kill those and fight in these wars and whatever he get, he'll divide it with the people and all of that. You know, he wouldn't just keep everything for himself. He'll go from house to house and divide and give people stuff like that. He blessed the people, the men that was helping him fight. He blessed them before. And that's just a blessing, because you don't find that in here. You don't find where the king, after they fight and stuff, they divide the spoils up with the people that help fight, and then with just people in the city, in the towns and stuff. You know, it's a blessing for that. But then, first of all, too, he give it over to God, because they were just giving him, blessing him with vases and brass and gold and silver, and he would go and take it to the house of the Lord. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to give the house first, and then you keep whatever God tells you to keep. It's a blessing. So David, I can see how he won over God. And then, you know, the word of God is true. We all sin and fall short. It's not always that we're going to be just perfect. We all sin and fall short. David sinned and he fell short. And I got to stay out those chapters until we get to it, but they are the best. You know, I read those and I really enjoyed my reading. I just kept going and kept going. I had to stop, because I knew the day I would be trying to talk about and trying to put them in this. But you can't find people like David today. You can't find presidents now. President Biden, he's okay. You know, he's okay. He tried to help the people, but now they saying he helped them too much, and they don't want to do any work. But I just don't believe, that's what they saying. But you know what? He did a great work. He blessed us when that COVID was going around, that virus was going around, and we didn't have to work. We didn't have to do anything that we couldn't do. So
yeah.
I feel like it was just a blessing that we could get. If you had COVID, you could get unemployment or whatever if you couldn't work. And I did. I had COVID. My husband had COVID. And about 10 or 12 of my grandchildren had COVID, because we had Thanksgiving here at my house. And I had 31 people in my house. Mm. And all but 10 got COVID. So it was a blessing that we could still have food and stuff and still pay our bills and stuff as we heal. And that's one thing about David. He blessed the people. It was a blessing. And he loved the people. The people loved him. The people loved David. But like I say, David still, you know, he a human. And we all sin. The devil right there trying to make you look and see and do right there. Just inching it on. Just inching it on. Waiting till something happens, and you have to always be praying, because he could get you in stuff and can't get you out. and won't get you out. Not can't, won't get you out. He'll send you to jail and leave. Mm-hmm. So you have to really be careful when it comes to things like that. But David was a good king. I really liked him, but he was just a shepherd boy. You see where God brought him from a shepherd boy to a king.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what God won't do. God can do anything but fail. You know, and this lesson was so good to me because he went way back and got Jonathan's son, crippled son, and blessed him and made him feel good and everything. He said, "What? Who am I for you to bless me like this?" That ain't what he said, but paraphrasing, a dog as I am. I'm telling you, when you humble yourself, God will raise you up. Just humble yourself. God will raise you up. How we have to look at it. That's how we have to be. We have to humble ourselves before the Lord. God knew he was there. God put it on David's heart for him to get that boy. He was living with somebody else, staying with somebody else, because he was a cripple in both of his legs, feet.
Mm-hmm.
Then he had a son. So his Saul's his grandchildren, great grand, gonna get his land, and he left them an inheritance. That's just a blessing, because you don't find that these days. People don't leave their children hardly anything. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times the kids go before the parents. You just, you know, it's just so much going on. It's so much going on. Mm-hmm. So much. Yep. So do you have anything you want to say or anybody? I mean, I'm telling you, it was good. It was really good to me. Mm-hmm. I've been reading on it. Hmm.
No, I'm saying it's always good whenever I read about David.
Yeah.
You know, you can't do nothing but, you know, feel inspired and make you want to be better, be closer to God and just, you know.
Yes, ma'am. You're right.
I've read this before. And up until now, I never knew that Mephibosheth had a son. I always thought he was a child.
No, he was probably grown by then, and he couldn't see. He would have got killed too if he had went out there and fought with his daddy Jonathan. But he and the reason why he didn't, probably because his feet was bad. He had two crippled feet. So he couldn't go out.
No, at that time, he was a child back then, because when the nurse, after the war, and David and Saul died, is when the nurse was trying to escape with him that, you know, she fell. And he got crippled.
That's right. He was a child. But I guess this is, you know, it was some years between that. And he got
a child
named Martha. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely right. But it's a blessing that David took him in. Mm-hmm. It's a blessing David took him in.
It made David real happy, because you remember all those covenants that David and Jonathan kept making, you know?
Yeah.
And Jonathan would say, you know, swear to me that you won't cut off my father's house, and, you know?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's such a blessing, too. Mm-hmm. And you see, the Makkos where Mephibosheth stayed.
Mm-hmm.
Mephibosheth, they was wealthy. It says they was wealthy. And they later helped David, but mm-hmm. they was wealthy people.
Okay.
And, you know, David, he supplied the necessities for him,
mm-hmm.
but the Makars was wealthy, and they helped him with the Mephibosheth. Yep, and then the people that David told to take care of him and to till the land and grow the food and stuff, they was probably mm-hmm. pleased to do it because they needed somewhere to go to and to do their own land and stuff. And that man had 15 sons and 20 servants, mm-hmm. so they probably had kids. And so they had enough people to take care of him. They had enough people. And he said they had 15. He had 15 Ziba. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 15 sons, honey. Mm-mm. That was a lot, but that was a blessing because they went right on and took care of that boy, that man. He got to be a man and got a son, Micah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That was good. Yep. But and another thing about David, his kindness and his loyalty to Jonathan and the kindness that he showed was just a blessing. That's how you do people. I mean, if you're going to be loyal, if you're going to be a friend, you know, they was real good buddies, almost like brothers.
Yeah.
But, you know, they really kept that, what they had, that covenant they had with each other.
Mm-hmm.
That was such a blessing. Mm-hmm. It was real good, really, really good. So that's how you have to do things. Nowadays, you know, people don't really look at it like they don't really look at being loyal like David did.
Mm-hmm.
David was very loyal. Even though Saul was trying to kill him, he was still could have killed Saul so many times, but he remembered what God said, touch not my anointing, do my prophets no harm. So he wouldn't harm him.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't mess with him, but he could have.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's taking mm-hmm. care of his son, Jonathan's son, his grandson. That's just a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just a blessing.
That's what I like, you know, when you read through David, you know, at least for me, you know, it makes you believe God more, believe his word more. You know,
yes,
and when you really honor him, you know how here he said, and David subdued him, and wherever he go, you know,
mm-hmm.
God would be with him,
yeah.
and deliver him, and let him, you know, capture the men, and you know,
yeah, that's right.
And it just builds you up so much, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, just
it
trust
does.
God. Just trust God. Just trust him.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You have to trust the Lord. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You have to trust. That's what this word is for, is to trust,
mm-hmm.
you know, to build up our faith and trust and hope in God.
Mm-hmm.
If we put our confidence
mm-hmm.
in man, we messed up. We cannot put our confidence in man. But we have to put our
mm-hmm.
whole confidence in God. You know, even
mm-hmm.
David, who being him being king, we still have to put our trust in God, because God will make your
mm-hmm.
enemies bless you. God will make your
yeah.
enemies be your footstool. That's what the word of God says. And it has happened to
mm-hmm.
me. God has made my enemies bless me, and they didn't know why. But I knew
mm-hmm.
why, because it was God.
Because yeah.
otherwise, they wouldn't have helped me. But they did.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
that's another thing you have to look at. And because David was so soft-hearted and loved Saul anyway, and he loved Jonathan too, but he loved the king anyway. He loved him. Because if he didn't love him, he wouldn't have been playing the harp, playing the music, trying to calm him down. But he loved the king. He just didn't know what he had done to make him be mad at him. But then he ends up just like this, killed his grandson, and gave the grandson all the land back again. You know, this is really something. It's in such a blessing that he wouldn't even think to do something like that for King Saul's grandson, Jonathan's son. But he loved Jonathan so much, he wouldn't have thought none of it. But he did not know that Jonathan had a son still there. He didn't know it, because he would have really been done something about it. But I guess God put it on his heart, and he asked one of Saul's servants, is there any of Saul's people, relatives, that's still there? And the man said, yes, Jonathan has a son, and that did him all the good in the world, because him and Jonathan were so close, and he wasn't there when Jonathan died. You know, he didn't know when he died. So, you know, that was a blessing for him to be able to help Jonathan. Yep. Any more comments or questions?
No, I was just saying, if someone did.
Yes, it was really good. Mephibosheth. And he stayed in Jerusalem the rest of his life, I guess, and he still ate at David's table. That was Jonathan's son. And probably his son too. But I know it's Jonathan. I know that he had the men to take care of both of them. If he took care of the son, he took care of the grandson too.
Yeah.
That was a blessing, I'm telling you. And you can't get no better than that. You don't do no better than that. That shows that loyalty, that shows love, that shows commitment, you know, and tenacity, because he waited and waited and waited. You know, he waited. He didn't know if anyone was there. But he probably was saying, if I just could do something, you know, for Jonathan or Saul, if I could just do something. I believe if he had he would have blessed, what's the name, the servant's name, Ziba, because he was one of Saul's old servants. He was just looking for anybody that was connected to Saul. To help him bless, to be kind too, and to show kindness. That was such a blessing. But you were all rich, huh?
I have a question. Think anyone born with such a heart, or is it after birth God gives someone this type of heart?
Well, I don't know about that, but sometimes you're born with it. Sometimes you get that kind of heart even from the womb. And then sometimes a lot of times God has to break us before our heart can get like that. A lot of times we go through so many things in our heart to get like that. You know, people want the titles, they want the gifts and the callings, but they don't realize what they have to go through. They have to go through so much, and to whom much is given, much is required. So when you get that anointing, that and that heavy anointing and those mantles like David had, you're gonna go through something. That man chased him for no reason at all. None. For no reason at all. But David stayed right there because he knew God was with him. And that's why he won all those wars, and God allowed him to take those men, those different tribes and stuff like that. Because he was a man after God's own heart. And he still haven't went through what he's going to go through. We're going to keep reading. And it's a lot of more things they're going to go through. And it goes to show you that he a human man. We all human, but we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. And but I feel like a lot of times, you know, that's a very good question, but your heart, when if you don't be born with it, it's something in the making, I tell you that. And it's not going to be easy to go through to get a heart like David had. That's not an easy thing. But God was with David even when he was a boy out there shepherding those little lambs and sheep. Because even with Goliath, he was a kid then, and God gave him a rock, a stone, and a sling, and he killed Goliath. That David didn't do that. He did it, but God allowed him to do it. And just like he said, I can do it. He talked to Saul and told him, I can do it. When I was taking care of the sheep, he said it was bears and lions. And he split the lion's mouth and he killed the bear. But he was just a little boy. So it was the power and the strength of God, not him. It's not by my might nor by my power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. There's a lot of things we do today. We think we're doing them, but it be the Holy Spirit, be the God allowing us to do it. And I know for me, it's such a blessing because I just that question right there just made me think, how young was he when he killed the bear? How young was he when he split the lion's mouth? Because they had a sheep, was taking one of the sheep. The kind of warfare you have to go in for the shepherd, for the sheep. The shepherd have to really fight for the sheep. Have to really fight for the sheep. They have to go in hard for the sheep. And when they don't, they lose the sheep. But David will say he wasn't losing nothing. If he fought the bear, he fought the lion. Nobody else was. Everybody else was scared to fight. And this little old kid with a slick stone, a sharp stone, and a slingshot put a hole in this giant's head. I can just see it now. The power of God got behind that stone and knocked that giant so far a hole in his head. So, I mean, when you depend on God, when your hope is in God, your hope got to be in God. Man can't help you. Man will fail you every time. Our hope always have to be in the Lord, always, especially when we're going through something. And even when we're not and we need this and we need that, man a failure. Sometimes God would allow him to do it. So you'll know, don't trust in him. Put your trust in me. Because anything might happen when you put your trust in man. Man might get jealous and just won't do it. Have envy in him. And with jealousy comes all other evils. So all kind of other stuff going to come with it. That is really, that was a good question right there. Good question. I can imagine Jesus being born with a heart like that. I don't know about nobody else, but I can imagine him having a heart like that. At birth, because he was the Savior already. At birth, Emmanuel. Yes, he was Emmanuel. God with us. So he was born like that. I can't imagine anyone else having a heart like that at birth. but I know I can imagine, and I know God, Jesus had it. Does anyone have any questions or comments? And it was a good. We have about three questions, but they were good. You know, it's been just a blessing, because when you look back and you think about all what David went through, still showed kindness. And he won no punk, man. He wanted to come to fight. He did what he didn't take on his own understanding. He acknowledged God before he went out, and God gave David favor to whoop and take all that stuff from them, the Moabites, the Philistines, and all of them, the Syrians. He gave them favor. And when you have favor with God, you automatically have favor with men. Automatically. It's been just a blessing, I'm telling you. And when you study the Word of God, it should encourage you anyway. It really should. It builds your faith. It encourages you. You just have to know that God is God and He is Creator, and He can do anything. God can. He's a sovereign God.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's something. And He can fix your heart just like it's supposed to be. Yep. And you can, He'll make you bless yours too.
Apostle, just a little bit back, when Saul went to look for the donkey, and he met with Samuel, and Samuel had told him that, go on your way, your donkey is found, and you're going to meet some prophets. And while he was with the company of prophets, the Bible says God gave him a new heart. What was that about?
Because his heart, you know, Saul's heart wasn't right. It wasn't right. God had to help him in that. Now, right today, if you're around four or five prophets, you're a prophet. That's a given, because when all that anointing get together, that spirit of the Lord will fall on you too. That's what happened to Saul. And then God rebuilt his heart. I mean, I'm telling you, because if not, this evenness would have came out from him. He wouldn't have never been king if God hadn't changed his heart. Believe he would have. But God changed his heart, and then that evil spirit came back in him. It came right on back. He was possessed. You know, the enemy have to have a body.
Okay. Yeah, I understand.
But they have to, so they just used, he just used Saul. It just used Saul. But angels already have a body. Because you can be sitting up at the lunch table with an angel and don't know it. If you don't know people, that's why I said be careful who you're entertaining. Could be an angel. And I know I've been in the presence of a few. I know I have. It was one on the train. I can remember seeing him on the train. And one time I was going to a credit union in St. Louis, and I was walking. And this short man asked me for a quarter of a dollar or something. I was scared to open my purse. And I gave it to him. I gave him a dollar or something. I went on down there by the credit union. Man was there again, but he was white. He was black at first. He was white when I got down there. He asked me for another dollar. Man, I hurried up and got out of there because I knew it was an angel following me because I was walking. I knew it was an angel. One time, I used to be afraid to drive a long ways and across water and stuff like that. But I didn't have to go across water this time. I was on the highway, and I went to see my ex-husband. And this car followed me from the time I got on the highway almost all the way to the bridge almost. And when I looked back, they never passed me. They stayed behind me. And when it was time for me to go another direction, I looked in the car and it looked just like my mother. My mother been dead since 1989. And I almost had an accident looking over there at them, at her. And I said, that couldn't be. But it was a angel following me because I was afraid. So it followed me. Kind of, you know, when I saw who it was, I was just so thankful that I even got to see a face that looked like my mom. So you don't know. But.
No, I'm going looking for angels, Foster.
Yes. I mean, God, you know, we all have angels. We just have to sometimes ask God to activate our angels, and then he will. I feel like it, you know. Sometimes I can feel them in the room. I can feel a presence. And when you can tell when it's not a good presence, you'll know. You know, you'll feel it. When I feel the presence of the Spirit of the Lord, I have heat on me and stuff like that. But when an angel comes, it just be some kind of eerie feeling like time is standing still or something. I don't know how it feels. I can tell you, but I know I felt it before, and I knew somebody was in the room with me. So now I could be sitting up like I am now, and, you know, I could kind of feel things moving about. I can make my spirit be still, my spirit man will be still, and I can feel the presence of things moving. So, you know, I just be still, and I can feel other things moving. So I know it's the presence in the room. That's just a gift God gave me and everything. But, this was a good lesson. It really makes you think. It really does. That, like I said, that was a very good question. I'm going to just look into some of that. I just feel like I don't know about that heart. That heart is something, the heart. God judges us. He looks at the heart. So it's something to that. It's something to that. But I'm not gonna. We're gonna go on and get off. I guess no one else want to talk about David tonight or have anything else to say. I really enjoyed the chapters. I really have. It's been very good. And on Thursday night we'll have 10, 11, and 12, we'll have three of them. So we'll be ready, and I'm ready for it now because I read it and studied it. It's very good. So anyway, I'm going to go on and let you off because I know you're tired too. And next week, on Thursday, we'll jump right into it. So I'm going to close out. It's got about 3 minutes. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word. We got about 5 minutes. One clock say one thing and one say another. We got about 5 minutes. So, Father, we just thank you tonight, God, for your word. God, thank you for opening up our understanding on tonight, Lord. I ask you to just cover tonight each one of our members, cover everyone that's on this Bible class on tonight, God. Cover them in the shed blood of Jesus. Cover their families as well, Lord, in the blood of Jesus. Encamp your angels all around about them to protect them, God, from all hurt, harm, and danger. I ask you, and I thank you for opening up our understanding. I thank you, God, for the questions that this word brought up before you, God. in the name of Jesus, teach us, God, even the more. Teach us, Holy Spirit, what we need to know about the heart, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. I'm asking you, God, to protect everyone, God, all over this earth. Cover them now in the blood of Jesus. We just thank you, Father. We ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen, amen, amen. So let it be. God bless you, woman of God. I just really enjoy tonight, and it's going to get better on Thursday night because we get three chapters, and we'll be able to talk longer about more. Yeah, it'll be good. So God bless you. I love you. We'll talk. We'll study again on Thursday.
Yes, Apostle. Thanks.
Bye-bye. God bless you all.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Love y'all.
God bless you. Love you too. Bye-bye.